Es kann so sein, dass ich gesagt habe, wenn Yehudim sagt, dass Gittin darf pay Gimel. Sag mal, Bryce, es ist, after Rabbi Yehudim passed away, four Chachamim came together to refute this Halacha. Rabbi Yehudim said, Aglili, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Lazar, Zayin, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfin said, Rabbi Lazar can't be right, because if the woman is allowed to marry in that case, she may go ahead and marry the brother of the man she's not allowed to marry, and if her husband then dies without children, she will be incapable of performing the mitzvah of Yehudim. It can't be that a get would be valid when it can possibly uproot a mitzvah of the Torah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Rabbi Eliezer can't be right, because how can it be that something is also to one person but mutter to another? Either it's also to everybody or mutter to everybody. Therefore, it must be that such a divorce is not a valid divorce. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Rabbi Eliezer can't be right, because a get must be something that totally severs the bond between husband and wife, and this husband and wife are still connected. Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Eliezer can't be right, because according to him, this woman can get married to another man and have children, and if she's then widowed or divorced again, and then goes and marries a man that she wasn't allowed to marry under the first get, it'll turn out that she was never divorced from the first husband, and all her children from the second husband are now mamzerim. Clearly such a get can't be valid. Another reason he says is, if the man that the husband said she may not marry is a kohen, and after receiving this divorce, the husband then died, it turns out that she is a widow with regard to this kohen and a divorcee with regard to every other man, and yet she would be usher to this kohen. If she becomes usher to the kohen because of the part that she's a divorcee, which is only allowed for the kohen, then surely she should be usher to all men when there is a restriction in her divorce, which essentially leaves her as a partly married woman, which is subject to the death penalty. It must be that the divorce is not valid. Rabbi Yeshua said to all of them, we do not refute the lion after his death. Rava said, all these arguments can be refuted except for the argument of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yossi said this in the Braisa as well. The Gemara now goes through each of the four statements of the Chacham and explains what they mean. So the statement of Rav Tarfon. The Gemara asks, he's not actually uprooting a mitzvah. The Gemara explains, it means that he's making a condition with the result that a mitzvah will be uprooted. The Gemara asks, the husband is not requiring her to marry the brother of the man who is usher to her under the get, so he's not stipulating to uproot something in the Torah. The Gemara says, this means he's causing the possibility that the mitzvah will be uprooted. The Gemara asks, if so, a person should not be allowed to marry a woman who is an erva to his brother, so that he not possibly uproot the mitzvah of Yibim if he were to die without children. The Gemara says, this is actually exactly what Rava meant when he said the Rav Tarfon can be refuted. We find that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if the husband said you are mutter to every man except for so-and-so, once she marries another man and her second marriage terminates, she would even be allowed to marry the man who was made usher in their first get. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon must hold her. Rabbi Eliezer was referring to a case where the husband said on condition, in which case it continues in effect even after a subsequent marriage. Now we move on. With regard to the statement of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Gemara asks, we find that Truma and Kachem are mutter to someone else or to others. The Gemara says he was referring to Isra of woman. Talking about the case of Aroyus is a case of being usher to someone, mutter to others. Gemara says he was referring to the Isra caused by a marriage. Talking about a married woman is mutter to her husband, usher to everyone else. That was a Gemara. That's what Rava meant when he said the statement can be refuted. Rabbi Yossi must hold it, but the Isra refers to where the husband said accept, because if he said on condition, she would not be totally usher to the man, because the get does not make znus with him usher. Next, the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Gemara asks, based on this concern, we should not allow any condition for a get. The Gemara says that's actually what Rava was referring to when he said it could be refuted. We find that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if the husband said you are mutter to every man except for so-and-so, once she marries another man and her second marriage terminates, she would even be allowed to marry the man who was made usher in her first get. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva must hold that Rabbi Eliezer was referring to a case where the husband said on condition, in which case it continues in effect even after the subsequent marriage. With regard to the second reason of Rabbi Akiva, this reason must hold that Rabbi Eliezer refers to where the husband said except, because if he said on condition, she would not be totally usher to the man, because the get does not make his nus with him usher. According to this, one reason of Rabbi Akiva is based on when the husband said accept, and the other is based on when he said on condition. This was done because Rabbi Akiva heard that some people understand Rabbi Eliezer as referring to accept. Others refer to him as saying on condition. Therefore, he asked the question for each possibility. Rava's refutation of this reason is that you can't compare the Isra of Kahuna to other Isurim. Rava must hold Akabiyane's version of the base of Rabbi Lazar, which is not based on the Isra of Kahuna. Rabbi Yeshua said that we can't refute the lion after his death. Although we find that Bryce Rabbi Yeshua himself also disagrees with Rabbi Lazar, he says we cannot refute Rabbi Lazar after his death. Rabbi Yeshua's issue with Rabbi Lazar's halacha is quoted in a braisa. He said that there is a hekesh from the woman's status before her first marriage to her status before the second marriage. Just as before her first marriage is not bound to any man, so too before her second marriage she must not be bound to any man. So we quoted a braisa above that said Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if the husband said you're a mutter to every man except for so-and-so, once she marries another man and her second marriage terminates, she would even be allowed to marry the man who was usher in her from her first get. Rav Shimon Lazar disagreed and said it can't be that one person makes something usher and another person comes along and makes a mutter. In fact, we find that a husband makes his wife usher to other men, and yet the yavam can make her mutter to other men. The Mara says the isra for a yavama to marry is based on the yavam, and that's why he's the one who can release her. If the isra was based on the first husband, his death would have released her. In fact, when we find that a person can make an isra with a nether and the chacham can come and release him, Rav Yechanan said And Rabbi Yochanan has said that the release only comes from the person himself regretting the neder that he made. So it's actually he himself who releases himself. In fact, when we find that a husband can release the isra of his wife with hafara, the Gemara says the reason for that is like Rabbi Pinchas, the name of Rava, who said that a woman only makes a neder subject to the consent of her husband. It's on that condition that allows the release from her neder. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave the reason that a get must be something that totally severs based on the word krisos, and a restricted get does not do so. That's why it's possible. In fact, how did the Rabbanan dash the word krisos? Rabbi said the Rabbanan used the word krisos to teach that it must be a document that fully severs the relationship. It can't be on a condition that obligates the woman to do something forever or not to do something forever. Rabbi Elazar will learn this from the word krisos as well, because the pasuk could have said kars. It says krisos, which allows for a second drasha. Rabbanan don't dash and karas krisos. Rava said, if a man tells his wife, this is your get on the condition that you don't drink wine for as long as I live, it's not a full severance and is therefore a possible get. If he said for as long as so-and-so lives, it would be a valid get. What's the difference between the two cases? In both of these cases, she may outlive the subject of the condition and thereby may fulfill the condition and achieve complete severance. And Mara says, you're right. The first case should be changed to where he says that she may not drink wine for as long as she lives. Rava asked Rav Nachman, if a man tells his wife, this is your get for today, but tomorrow you should no longer be divorced, what's the halacha? This is the question according to Rabbi Eliezer, because it may be that he allows a restrictive get only when she becomes mutter to the other people on a permanent basis, but in this case it's only temporary, or maybe there's no difference and it would be a valid get. This is the question also according to Rabbanim, because it may be that they disallow a restrictive get when it's not a complete severance, but this is a complete severance for the day and therefore will take effect even forever. Rava then answered, it would make sense that according to everybody, this get would be effective in making her divorce forever and not just for one day.